Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Wednesday, September 6, 2017. I'm Ann Ortley, and here we are on Scorpio's Talking. I'm the astrologer on Scorpio's Talking, and I'm joined by my friend Michael, who's the psychotherapist on... And Michael?
Hello. Mm-hmm. I'm Michael Kohlberg. I'm a psychotherapist in Hudson, New York, and in New York City, and today I am in New York City.
Yeah, and we're doing the show a day early, so you're all going, wait, I thought it was a Thursday show, because Michael has class tomorrow, and he doesn't cut class because he's a responsible guy.
Yeah.
So he's got class Thursday and Friday. What are you going to learn this week?
It's Sue Johnson's Emotionally Focused Therapy, and it's amazingly good couples work, evidence-based, that's based on attachment theory. And this is the final, I'm actually taking class one of the third level. I've taken two, three, and four, but I had to miss one last year because Gene got sick.
Nice.
So,
well, not that he got sick, but that, yeah. The,
yeah.
Emotional therapy.
And this is a kind of therapy that I love doing, and I want to get better at it. So it is incredibly helpful to couples.
Hmm. And why? What does it do?
It basically says that things, simplifying it. Mm-hmm. You can look up on YouTube, mm-hmm. Sue Johnson, Edtronic, from infancy to adult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's billions of Sue Johnson things. But you see that in one part of the clip, there's a mother
mm-hmm.
and her very young toddler
mm-hmm.
is in, or not quite a toddler, is in a high chair. And they're quite engaged, and the baby is very responsive to the mother. And the mother looks away, and she blanks her face and then turns back to the baby.
Blanks her face, meaning made it not smiley.
Not anything.
Okay.
And then looks at the baby and doesn't respond. And it takes about 30 seconds for the child to become absolutely disorganized and hysterical.
Wow.
So we're mammals. We need the secure attachment. And then the second part is a recreation of a couple session. It was a real session, but there are people playing the script. And the same dynamic occurs. Is
mm-hmm.
they're fine, and then something happens, and the attachment gets disrupted, and then they don't do well. And it's how that unfolds very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and then there's some discussion about how you repair it.
Hmm.
So this work, 'cause of my psychic stuff, I get exactly what's going on when I see people.
Mm-hmm.
But the really hard part for me is slicing things thin enough so that there's an actual repair, and the couple are then given the tools so that they can notice the instant something
mm-hmm.
disrupts their secure attachment, because there are three attachment styles. There's secure attachment, which is what you want. There is insecure attachment, which means that you're constantly needing reassurance. And as soon as you get the reassurance, you're on to the future where you're, again, insecure. And that can come up in 100 different ways.
Mm.
Like, you know, some couple comes in and the guy goes, we don't have enough sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are lots of ways of dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ask, well, how often do you have sex? And the wife goes, I don't know what he's talking about. We have sex every day. It's that sex only makes him feel secure in the moment. So he's already working on the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what he's trying to give himself in order to feel secure is not a good cure. Like, you have to actually see what the attachment is, and they have to have a deeper conversation so that he can feel his partner coming to him when he's insecure.
Wow.
And then there is avoidant attachment, which is that you have absolutely no contact with the part of you that has feelings and needs.
Mm-hmm.
So those are pursuer, avoiders, you know, distancer, pursuer,
mm-hmm.
like somebody who just like backs away.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, have a number of people like that, mm-hmm. that I work with, couples with that dynamic.
The back away when...
Well, or one, and then one is left in the position of yelling louder
mm-hmm.
or making a bigger stink. They're
right.
Protesting is what it's called in EFT, a bigger protest.
Mm-hmm.
And that often makes the avoidant attacher feel insecure, overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and then we'll shut down more.
Right.
So, and we all, you know, you don't
have
to be
different
one.
Different coping styles, yeah.
And you don't have to be one or the other. It's
you can
like
be a blend.
There's infinite variety of complexions, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it's extremely exciting work. I encourage people to check it out. Sue just got the Order of Canada. She was kind of sidelined as a crazy person for a long time, and she's not. She's mm-hmm. Like a tough old broad type. She's mm-hmm. British but lives in Canada, and she's very smart. And she's a researcher.
Right.
So all this stuff has been
tested, yeah.
And people go back 3 or 4 years later and test to see whether it holds. It holds.
Wow.
She just received the Order of Canada Award.
Oh, cool.
Which is, you know, the
that's like
the most,
British.
Yes.
Yeah. You're recognized for your great.
Yep.
Contribution.
So she's done an enormous amount. She came to New York to help out after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
And she's made this work available in many different ways. There are workbooks out there so people can do it on their own. There are Hold Me Tight workshops, which the name makes my skin crawl, but it's not. But they're actually really wonderful, where couples can come for a weekend and really work on their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of training for therapists. It's really, really, every effort is being made around the world to get this work out, and not in an egoic way, because it actually works.
Well, and it also, if you understand the premise of it, then you say, okay, if I really truly want a relationship and this is the story.
Well,
I can tell when I do readings with people, you know, when I look down to write something and, you know, they just stop talking and the dialogue stops. You know, I'm really careful when I'm doing a reading, if I'm in person, to really maintain eye contact. And I, you know, and just last week I was up at a friend's house. Her mother turned 100, and little baby Tobin came. He was 2 months old. And, you know, I got him, you know, and I got my hands on him. I was like, and we were talking. We were chatting. We were having this, like, huge exchange. And he was singing and laughing. And, you know, and the minute he wasn't connected, he was kind of like, oh, nobody wants me. It was, you know, it was really interesting to watch that very basic response.
Well, it's the way I was, you know, that just in the old school
mm-hmm.
way that I was taught this stuff, not the couple stuff, but child development,
mm-hmm.
is children are very needful,
yes.
of having their parents mirror back what they're picking up from the baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that makes the baby feel secure.
Yes.
When that does not happen,
mm-hmm.
The baby actually needs to disregard what they're feeling and try to meet the adult's
needs.
Which, and that is the basics of, that's the first building block of creating a narcissist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they have not much internal development.
Right.
And they're dependent on what's coming from the outside.
Right. They have to look at that to see it.
Yeah. So this work
President
is
Trump.
Yeah, really. So this work, anybody who's in a relationship, I
check it out.
I really, because it's been, I think, forever since I found anything that I really get off on. And this is the opposite of what most people are told, which is that you're supposed to grow up and be an individual, and you're supposed to individuate, and you're supposed to look to yourself for needs. I mean, there was, you know, the whole movement in the 60s, mm-hmm. I think, you know, Esalen and all that, where everybody kind of became codependent.
Right.
But that was just not a very responsible way of having connections. It just, you projected your needs onto other people. But this is, you're actually supposed to individuate with a partner. So you're supposed to stay very connected,
mm-hmm.
and become yourself,
yeah.
fully yourself,
mm-hmm.
the most complete expression of yourself possible.
Right. It's interesting because there's a Jungian guy in New York I really like. His name is Max McDowell. And I was in a class, taking a class from him, and he had talked about being in an intimate relationship allows you the stability and the structural
yes.
framework to go back and work on the narcissistic wounds and to work on where you're not full because, or you're not whole, you're not growth, because it provides a stable caring environment that helps heal and hold you so you can do that work of individuation.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Yeah.
And there are a lot of people I've seen over the years, you know, who were in relationships and the relationships ended. Not too many couples I've worked with. Even when I practiced law, I was doing family law, and people would come for divorces, and I would get them back together usually. But with the individuals, if a relationship breaks down, you get to take everything that you've
learned
with you. Like whatever development has happened, you take with you. And on a frequency level, the next person you're going to attract is going to be at a higher frequency than the last.
Right.
So it's not, you know, people go, oh, what was I thinking? I made a mistake. No, you didn't. You learned.
So you had a 4-year learning experience or a 10-year learning, and now you're ready for the next
chapter. And so you go back and look at the good. A lot of people just get
dump
caught.
The whole bucket. Yeah.
Or in blame. And blame is kind of a waste of time. You have to mourn.
Yep, mourning is good. Yep.
But you go back and you look at the good.
Well, you look also at what you learned from it. You know,
so speaking of the good.
Yep.
Do you see any, Ann?
Do I see any stars coming?
Yeah, really.
I see, you know, I think, we're still in eclipse departure time, so we just had the full moon yesterday, which officially marks the end of it, but we had two things triggered yesterday. Of course, Mercury went direct on that point, and Mars changed signs, triggering it one more time. Venus triggers it on the 16th or so of September. So normally the eclipse point sets up a sensitive point, like a hole in the rug, and all the planets trip in it as they go over it. But this time the hole was cut. It's a big damn old hole, and they're really falling on their face. So, you know, we started with tiki torches, the beginning of it. Then we had Houston, and we saw people working together regardless of race, creed, color, or belief system. We got another hurricane coming with Irene. Irma, I think it is. I keep wanting to call her
Irma.
I think it's Irma, right?
And then there's one behind that.
Yeah, well, they're just going to keep coming, folks. This is called global warming. That ocean is warm makes for big hurricanes. So the energy is, you know, as you saw, it cut across the United States. It cut across, really, the Mason-Dixon line. I did an article and sent it out of my newsletter about the Savannah speech, the cornerstone speech, which was the declaration of what the Confederacy was going to be,
right,
and then how that's mirrored in this chart that we just had in the eclipse, and that this is really for us to all look and say, you know, what's our vision? So, of course, the Cheeto number 45 got rid of the DCA DACA yesterday. 6 months, folks, and then you're going to get deported, not sooner, because the INS starts sooner. But, you know, that kind of stuff where we're really getting defined, you know, and I thought it was instructive that Obama came out swinging a little bit. He has been very quiet. And I just wanted to add a little P.S. to the bottom. By the way, Donald, we know this is all about penis size, and yes, I am really hung, and you have a dinky penis. I want Obama to say that, you know, because everything, you know, it's like search Obama, find it, reverse it. It's just so deeply, psychologically, profoundly fucked up. But regardless, the energy of this is, you know, really for us to all become aware of what is our vision of our country. We're having our Pluto return. Somebody asked me when it happens. We're in orb for 10 degrees, so we're in orb of it. It goes forward on Pluto goes forward on this. The end of the month, September, at 16, and then it's kind of forward into it really intensely, and we really do need to have a vision of what we want. You know, FEMA's out of money, so we have this southern thing, and then we still haven't had anything on the eclipse path yet. So we've got the fires out there out west in Oregon. Apparently it's very hard to breathe, and it is a Grand Trinan fire. I was thinking we were going to have a nice big earthquake, but I'm still not ruling that out. You know, this is just like 2 days after the eclipse. So it's a biggie. you know, and I think it makes us all aware of what our vision is about things. So, you know, I know mine, you know, but I also know with gerrymandering and with people, you know, people saying these are illegal immigrants. Their parents were illegal. They were children. So I, you know, and then the whole idea that this is going to give the unemployed blacks and Latinos jobs. It's not like every DACA kid has a job, but it just mind-boggling to me the kind of crap that's coming out of this administration. So the answer is there stuff coming? Yes, but we all have to do something. We all have to, with this North Node eclipse, it invites each of us to stand in what our vision of how we can do it. So, Michael, you, with your Leo on the 4th, that's your clients creating for themselves what their dream is. For you, it's the tribe you had as a kid and as, you know, that you made with Gene and Rachel. And now for your clients, you're teaching them how to create what they want, what the love they want, the passion they want, the relationships that nurture. All of us need to look at our Leo house and say, what am I being asked? What am I being charged with as my path, and what is my purpose? So mine is 7th house, so I do astrology. I give it to the world. That's my gift, and then forward we go. You know, it's really we all have to do our work.
So putting into Barbara Marx Hubbard's
words, yes.
Well, her vision. I don't know that I can manage her words. It's the time has come where we have no leaders.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We are each our own leader. Yes.
The point being that there is no leader who's memorable in a good way.
Yes.
And, you know, she said this, God, almost 30 years ago, that this was going to happen. And what we need now is facilitators.
Yes.
And the point being that in the old paradigm, we voted for someone, and then we projected all of our needs sense of responsibility onto them. So we weren't responsible for anything. They were responsible for
everything,
all the work.
Yeah.
And that's over.
Yeah.
Each of us is now responsible for connecting with the divine within us and assessing what our unique gift is. Each of us is a splinter of a coherent whole,
yes.
You know, which is the universe. And we have a fingerprint, and that fingerprint is really what is unique about us. Mm-hmm. And so what we need instead of leaders are expert facilitators.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the saddest things in my life, in my relationship with myself, is I'm so trained in this stuff, and it's nobody wants to use it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so the facilitator cannot have an opinion of their own. That's not their job. Their job is to make sure that everybody's voice
mm-hmm.
is heard. And that they listen to everybody else's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And when we lived in Los Angeles, I had the most extraordinary experience professionally of my life when I sat in Los Angeles Commission for Children's Services, because I was a member of the private sector, and because Gene was high up the food chain in the entertainment field, I had power.
Mm-hmm.
But I sat on, I guess there were maybe 25, 26 people around this long table, and we restructured the way foster placements were made in Los Angeles. So there were people who had grown up in the system, people who had parented in the system, the money people, the medical people, the educational people, there were transportation people. I mean, every single angle you could think of that fit Los Angeles. And we had, I think we had 4 or 5 meetings over 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, there would be a topic, and everybody would put their 2 cents in. And the most elegant process emerged from this. Just naturally. So I believe that there are people on the planet alive now who, if put together and having access to each other, could address the things that we really need to pay attention to.
Right.
You know, the state of the planet geologically, in terms of climate, in terms of migration, because of war, disease, climate, Making sure that there's enough food for everybody, because we have enough food. Water is going to be a big deal. We've got to make sure that. But all of these problems can be solved.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer, disease can be cured. But people need to listen to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're becoming ever more territorial, I think.
Right.
At the moment. And hopefully it's a last gasp. There's been, you know, this opiate
epidemic.
And in Hudson, that has evolved. I mean, it's getting worse, but it's evolved into there were lots of shootings,
mm-hmm.
and it was between two rival factions over drug turf, but they hit little kids. And I wasn't there, but on Saturday, some guy, young guy, in a brand new car, OD'd while driving on the main street on Labor Day weekend.
Oh, my God.
And just coasted to a stop, and people didn't get to him in time because they just thought he'd pulled over. So he wasn't available for Narcan, and although eventually he was revived, I understand that he has not much brain activity. So that was right on the main street about 4 in the afternoon. So, you know, perhaps there'll be a step up now.
Right.
You know, half the police department had walked out for various reasons because of politics. And the shootings brought a lot of police in to try to keep things together. Not in a bad way.
No, no, but that's
just working on it.
Yeah.
And now with this, perhaps, although it hasn't been in the papers, I don't think. It's a big deal because Hudson just got, you know, I can't remember if it's $10 or $20 million grant from Cuomo to revitalize the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that doesn't work with people driving down the street ODing.
Right.
Because little, you know, they could easily have gone up on the sidewalk and hurt
people. Kill
people,
yeah.
Yes,
totally.
Yes. So all of these things are coming to a very ugly head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I cannot get a grip. And I'm afraid it's because of the interior lives of the two people involved, but the North Korean dictator and our president.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that they should just do celebrity death match and get over with, but not it's something and on something that we can turn off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's people have to realize it's not okay for either of these people to have access to
nuclear weapons. Anything
with a button.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is. You know, what somebody said to me is something, and I said, no, Trump's Mars goes through Korea. So one of the things that we do, Mars, of course, is the planet of action, fighting, and war. What we do as astrologers is we look and see where the planets, what planets their Mars and their Pluto lines go through, because those are the places where they're going to have trouble geopolitically. So
right.
Truman's was in Japan, Kennedy's was Texas, Clinton's was Serbia. I'd never even heard of Serbia. I mean, I'd heard of it, but you know what I mean? That we were going to go to war there. I was like, what can that be in Serbia? But there he went. And so Trump's is Trump's is Korea. And I'm kind of like, oh, no, not good, because you got these two little guys who are high narcissists and are batshit crazy, you know, and Trump didn't actually kill his brother like the other guy did. But he did watch his brother die, and then he left the brother's family out of the will. You know, they were willfully left out of the will when the dad died. It went to the other siblings and Trump, not to the older brother and his wife. And the older brother was dead, but the wife and the children from that marriage. So, you know, kill your brother. You know, I have no need to take care of you, you know. And so those two guys, yeah, I think celebrity death match, but it's the two of them in a little room together, and the rest of us don't have to be worrying about nuclear weapons. I was reading last night before I got freaked out I got to stop reading this shit at night. Vanity Fair had an article on the Department of Energy and what's going on there, you know, which, of course, they're the guys in charge of the nukes, and they're the, they're, and what's how the administration is handling that whole department and what's been happening. And it's friggin' scary. I mean, I was like, all right, I got to stop reading this and go to bed. I mean, I was in bed reading it, but I was like, I got to stop reading this, turn the light off, and go to sleep. Because we have, you know, these weapons that are out there, and the the people that are in charge of them are not people that you would want to give a gun to, much less a nuclear weapon that can kill millions of people. And, you know, they were talking about that the Department of Energy had tracked enough, you know, because when they run nuclear power plants, they'd intercepted enough plutonium to prevent 160 nuclear weapons from being built, meaning active trading of nuclear fissionable material that can make bombs.
Right.
And that's the group that watches it, and now we're not paying attention.
Correct.
160 nuclear weapons being, I mean, that they've been caught. It was, I just went, all right, I got to stop reading this.
I'm choosing to deal with it differently.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good for you, because I was freaked out. And I got up this morning, my solution being, okay, I'm going to make some mashed potatoes.
I mean, I knew that there was a black market trade in this stuff. And certainly after the Soviet Union collapsed, massive amount.
Yeah.
Right. So I get the concept. I don't need to be updated. But what I am tracking is my frequency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, like a big deal because I have to be okay if I'm going to work with people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the anniversary of when Gene got sick, and it was like horrible last year. It was similar to what's going on now between Trump and the North Korean dictator, except it was me and the hospitalists. So a bunch of whom are sociopaths. So I had to find people to align with. Well, actually, they found me. And shepherd us out of there. But the way I did it was I had to be very conscious of frequency. Mm-hmm. I walked in at the beginning, and I didn't realize it because it was like carry. I would raise the frequency of the entire building. And a friend of mine who's a healer happened to come visit, and she goes, oh, my God, because I had really overextended myself. I mean, there's a whole story about this and whatever. You don't need to hear that now. But I up-leveled my skills, and I had to learn. I mean, it's not something that I could just read a book about. Somebody had to help me so that I could not harm myself while I was raising the frequency. So through this thing, I don't see the point of staying glued to the news.
Yep.
Because it's going to lower your frequency.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important to be informed,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's even more important that you do everything you possibly can to raise your frequency. So put in different words.
Mm-hmm.
Are you coming from love or fear?
Mm-hmm.
You just ask yourself all day. So am I acting out of love or fear?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's fear, that's going to manifest. You might be angry. You might be a whole bunch of things, but you're not coming from love.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just have to be patient with yourself, and you go, no, I'm not afraid. I'm really pissed, or I'm really sad, or whatever it is. And go, what are you afraid of? I just have this dialogue with myself. And I just gently wait, and something appears. So I've been reading. I found all these books, and the central theme is love.
Okay.
Not sappy romance novels. I mean, that's like because the writing's not very good usually, but good ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly the Outlander series is a must read. It'll help.
Mm-hmm.
That's a relationship that transcends, that transpires over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a really interesting relationship between man and woman. And there are a whole bunch of series. There's a Molly Dodd series. Anyway, so actively pursue that stuff and spend time checking in to make sure your heart is open. Your heart has to stay open. Mm-hmm. There's every effort is being made for us to walk around with closed hearts. And that is not good. It hurts you, and it adds energy to the bad guys.
Right. We don't want them to have more energy.
No, and it's not whatever your politics are, we're right-wingers and the left-wingers are bad, or we're left-wingers and the right-wingers. Forget it. We're all people, and you have to see the other person's heart.
Right.
And we have to come up with what's going to work, because it's got to be – it works for everybody. And I personally think that people are contracted and selfish because they think something's going to be taken away from them, and nothing's going to be taken away.
Right.
It's we're all going to have, you know, you might lose, I personally would assume I would lose a lot of material stuff because it's got to be evened out.
Right.
And but what you get instead is enormous.
Yeah.
You get a sense of security, a peace of connection with your fellow man, and it all sounds airy-fairy. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got to be done with extreme intelligence and a commitment to connect with the part of you that is divine, and that is a tall order for me at the moment.
Right.
But that is where I try to stay focused.
Okay. That makes sense. I like that.
So
have a good class.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited.
I know. It sounds like fun. It sounds like it's like really cool.
It's hard work, and I realize how completely inept I am at working sequentially. And for me, I go to shame around that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at this level, it started out over 200 people, but at this level there were 17 in my thing last year.
Oh, okay.
And they're very senior people, you know, people have been doing this a long time. And they go, this is really hard. So that made me, it really gave me a chance to really look at my nature, which is the instant something goes wrong to blame myself.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I must be doing it wrong as opposed to, no, it's hard.
It's hard. Yeah, this is hard. We're doing hard things here. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, very cool. Wow, well, have fun. Big hug.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week on Thursday.
We will.
Yeah. In the meantime, we're sending love to Florida.
Yes.
Where we're about to have excitement. I feel bad for them. But I also am like, well, you know, we gotta figure this out, or we're going to have more and more of this stuff.
Yes, and Puerto Rico. And
yes, Puerto Rico's getting hammered right now. The islands.
Yep.
Bahamas. But not, I think, no.
I don't think the Bahamas, but.
No, there was
but,
another one.
St. Bart's.
St. Bart's, right. Yeah, those guys.
St. Martin.
Yeah.
Barbuda.
Yeah. So, all right. So lots of love.
And to you.
Yeah. Bye, honey.
Okay. Bye.